All right, so we begin on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and we're on the second line, first word, and first letter, too. So, here we go. Where are we ending off? We're going to end off at the end over here. Second line from the end. Here we go. So we were talking about this whole Dever business. The ratio of for every 500 people is going to be 3 people dying. 1 person per day for 3 consecutive days. However, as we're going to see now, it's not so simple. Durocris was an ir hamotzia chamesh mios ragli. Durocris was a city that had 500 people. V'yatzu mimeno shlosha meisim biyom echad. And 3 people died on 1 day. Now that shouldn't be cause for any trouble. We're on the second line, right? Or we were on the second line. Now we're on the third line. 6th word. First letter of that word.
After the 5th and before the 7th.
Correct. So anyway, 3 people dying in 1 day should not be cause for concern, because that does not meet the criteria of a tainus. Nevertheless, Gozer Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda Tanisa, he was Gozer a tainus. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak comes to his defense, despite the fact that this does not work with our Mishnah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak comes to his defense and says, Keman, who was Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda holding by? Ki Rabbi Meir. He actually holds like Rabbi Meir, who in a different context agrees with this concept. Da'amar, because he says, Richek Negichos of Chayiv, when the shore distances his gorings, then he's chayiv. So kirev negichosav, if his gorings are closer together, lo kol shekein, then certainly. Now, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China?
Israel.
What does that have to do with anything? So this is what's going on. What's going on is there's a basic yesod in Bava Kama, in Hilchos Nezikin, when it comes to a man owning a shore, right? This is up your alley. Right? You did Bava Kama recently, didn't you?
I did the Mishnayos with my son recently.
Okay. So this is in the Mishnayos. When a person owns a shore, so the shore is assumed to be a shore tam, which means it's a simple shore, and that means that the owner of the shore is not as responsible to make sure that he's responsible to make sure that his shore doesn't gore, but if his shore were to breach the fences and gore another animal and kill it, we do not require the owner of the shore that killed to pay full nezek, to pay the full damage, because the shore is considered a shore tam. It's a simple shore still. And therefore, we can't hold the owner of the shore completely responsible. Therefore, he only has to pay chatzi nezek, half the damage. And so too, if the shore goes out and gores a second time, because we still assume that the shore is a shore tam, it's a simple shore, and therefore it only has to pay chatzi nezek. However, if in the following day, so day one it gores chatzi nezek, day two it gores chatzi nezek, day three it gores, then it's nezek shalem. Why? Because now it's considered a shore muad, meaning that it is a trained, so to speak, this is its routine. Now it is its routine of the shore to gore, and therefore the owner has to be more responsible with it, and since he didn't lock it up after the second time, better, he didn't do a better shmira, and the shore got out, then the owner of the shore now has to pay nezek shalem. That's a din of shore shenogach. Now, that's where the Torah says, oh, no dahu, if it was known that the shore had gored, not just today, but also yesterday, and also the day before, the Torah says explicitly it needs to have gored 3 times over 3 days. That's basically the same yesod that we have over here of the Dever, where it has to die, that we have to have the deaths on 3 consecutive days. But says Rabbi Yehuda, Pashat in the Torah, it says that you need to have 3 gorings on 3 consecutive days. If it gores 3 times in 1 day, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't constitute a shore muad. But Rabbi Meir says, no. If the Torah is telling me that when the shore gores on day 1 and day 2 and day 3, on days that are distant, times that are distant from one another, it's considered a shor muad. It's definitely considered a shor muad when its gorings are closer together. So richek negichosav yechayiv nezek shalim. If the gorings are distant from one another, i.e. they're separated by 24-hour period, yechayiv nezek shalim. So certainly kiriv negichosav lokolshik, and you should certainly say, Rabbi Meir says, that when the gorings happen very close together, then certainly you should be chayiv nezek shalim. But Rabbi Yehuda holds no. The fact that it gores three times in one day is not indicative of its routine. It's indicative of the fact that it is having, shall we say, a tough day at the office.
It's in a bad mood.
It's in a bad mood.
Is that
it's
what
having
Rabbi
a rough day?
Maybe it's pregnant.
Maybe it's pregnant.
Are you sure?
All right, we need to have one of those. We got it out of our chest. I just don't know what we're going to do when we learn Maseches Bava Kama. How many times do we have to have that?
You can only say the joke once.
You can only say the joke once.
How many years will that be?
How many years is that going to be?
That's going to be in 7 years, 4 months, and 36 days. Give or take a few years.
It could be about right, actually. Yeah,
7 years?
You count every day?
I
think that we're going to get through Nashim in about 5 years.
You count every day?
Isn't it take 5 years just to do Yevamos?
It takes 2 years to do Yevamos.
Okay.
It takes 2 years to do it. No, you're right. Nashim's going to take us a good century. Okay. It's going to take us a long time. Anyway, fine. So that's where Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda got this principle that even if you have three people that die on one day, it's fine. It's still considered a dever that you have to be misane over. Why? Because he holds, just like in the case of a Bava Kama, in the case of the Shor Shanagach, where you can have three gorings in one day. So if you're going to tell me where there are three people dying on three consecutive days, that's cause for tainus. If three people are dying on one day, that's certainly cause for tainus, according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Very interesting application of the din.
I don't see how you can compare the two.
Completely
different criteria, completely different issues. Completely.
Uh-huh. You stand by that position. That's your opinion. You're not sure about it.
Correct.
Okay.
In other words, the same way as if it gores three times in one day, third time it's chayiv
full pay.
Okay. So, like that, if three people die in one day, then it's he's saying it's cause for tinnitus.
What do you got to say?
What you were saying about the idea that the three times in one day, it's not really a shor muad, but that it's having a bad day or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that why Rebbe Meir holds that? Or does Rebbe Meir say it's a shor muad?
No, he says it's a shor muad. He doesn't say it's a bad day.
Muad means
shor
muad.
Meaning it's prone to goring.
Okay.
That's its routine. That's its regularity. Rabbi Meir is the one who says that you're considered a shor muad if you gore three times, regardless of the days.
Okay.
So Rabbi Meir would say it's a shor muad.
If it was on three consecutive Mondays, everyone would agree it's not a shor muad.
Like two.
Three consecutive Mondays?
Okay. Whatever. Okay. Mondays,
so that's
Sundays,
actually...
Shabbos,
okay, now
whatever.
You're taking me back to my Bava Kama days, and that's actually...
more than one day apart.
That's actually... It's addressed in the Gemara as a question, and I think it's left off as a teku. What if the animal gores every Friday, every Erev Shabbos? What if it gores, the Gemara goes through all these different scenarios? What if it gores every Monday and Thursday? What if it gores, so the Gemara goes through all these different, like, wacky scenarios, and I think the Gemara comes out teku. Doesn't know. When Eliyahu Hanavi comes, he's going to be mitaris. He's going to answer all these questions. Because we don't have answers. No answers.
I mean, when there's a dever, it's bidei shamayim, right?
But a dever is bidei shamayim, yes.
And sure, it's an animal. So obviously everything's bidei shamayim, but I'm saying there's going to be a...
Yes.
Be a
makam shulachas, yes. It's a divine makam.
Right. So therefore, there may not be like... There's a big, the seriousness of it. In other words, not to be taken as like a real... Mitzias until after a certain amount of consecutive days. Where if an animal does this, if a wild dog does this on one day, it's a wild dog. But if it could be an Achmamim.
Right. Yes. And the whole thing that you're, this point that you're raising about this this divine makkah is going to be brought up in next Thursday. Chavezim at Beis, we're going to be discussing the elements of a divine makkah. If you have, yeah, meaning if you have an animal that that does, that basically causes, you know, is basically tearing apart people, and what is considered a, its routine, and what is considered something which is abnormal and therefore min hashamayim, so to speak. So we'll get to that. At any rate, do join. There is plenty of room.
Yeah,
actually, there is no room.
Yeah,
just stay where you are.
There's a good four chairs here. Or
let him stay where he is. Anyway.
Social.
Here we go. That was Rav Nachman.
You're the proctor.
That was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's defense of Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda's psak. So now, Amrli Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who defended him, Likumar leisei gab lagabon. Let the master get up and come by us. Now, what does it mean, come by us? According to Rabbeinu Hananel, it means that they were sitting in some hall or some banquet or some bar mitzvah or wedding or what have you, I don't know. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was sitting at a table among people who were hedyotim, right? Regular people or whatever. The environment wasn't as gishmak, as mechubad. And Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda was sitting amongst the gedolim, and he said, come sit by us. You know, you're a man of stature. According to Rashi, it's saying actually they were living in different cities, and the city that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was in was also among, not as great people. And so Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda said, you know, we're living in Bnei Brak, come live by us. And anyway, so he said, come be by us. However you learn that. So Amrle, he said to him, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, this is, he says back to him, Tznino, we've already learned, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Lo mekomo shel adam mechabdo, the makom of a place does not mechabid the person. Ela adam mechabid is makomo. It's the person who is mechabid his place. So why by my problem is not is my makom. Like my makom doesn't affect me. It doesn't have any impact on me. Shekein matzinu b'har Sinai, because we see the same thing by Har Sinai. Shekoz mashashkenish for your love. As long as the Shekhinah was on Har Sinai, Amr Torah, the Torah says, Gamatzon v'abakar al yiru, al mul haharahu, that even the animals cannot go up the mountain because it's a precious mountain. It's very holy. Nistalko Shekhinah mimenu, Amr Torah b'mshoch hayov alhim yal bahar. But once the Shekhinah leaves, then it's just a regular mountain. So you see, it's not telling the makom, it's telling the person, or telling the entity, shall we say, that's there. So by Har Sinai, the Shekhinah was there, Hashem was there. So therefore, the Shekhinah is mechabid the place, so to speak, but not the other way around. The place has nothing to do with it. So that's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's point here is that my place is just fine. It doesn't have any, my environment doesn't have any impact. It doesn't do anything. L'chein matzino b'ol moit. We see the same thing when it comes to the Mishkan. Shevet Midbar, shekoz man, shehu natoi, as long as it was upright. Amra Torah, v'yushalch, v'namacha kol tzaruah, v'chozav. Anybody who was a tzaruah or a zav, anybody who was tameh, had to be sent out of the machne. They couldn't be in the machne shechina. Huglalu ha-paroches, but once the paroches was rolled up and they were on their way, so then hutru zavin ha-mitzarayim, the konish l'sham, it didn't make a difference. The place meant nothing. So we said the place is not mechabit anything. It's not a din in the place. So that's what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him.
We have different levels of Kedusha in places. Like in Eretz Yisrael, we know you have four holy cities, then when you Yerushalayim is a holy city, then you get to the Harabai, it's even holier. Then, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm saying these are different levels of Kedusha. In Eretz Yisrael, I don't know about Chutz La'aretz, but I'm talking about here. So, mm-hmm. But so what is this? This is basically saying that it depends.
Okay,
it's
a good point. I mean, either way, I think from Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Nachman Bar Rav Chizda were in Bavel, so it didn't really make a difference. But I hear what you're saying. There are times when we have a lasting kedusha, and the kedusha of some places can be greater than other places. Enochanami. I don't know if we say. I don't know if we say on a halachic level nowadays that Yerushalayim has a greater kedusha, so to speak. There's any nafka mina.
Sure.
Harbayis is a different story. Harbayis is a different story, right? Kitchel Shaita, little Kitchel Asad level kind of thing.
We don't say the hotel has the level of Kedusha that other places don't.
I don't know. I mean, maybe just because of its proximity to Har HaBayis, but I don't know if that's... I don't know. I mean, I'm saying relative to anywhere else in Yerushalayim, I don't know that Har HaZeisim is any more. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
But Eretz Yisrael, every Yarden has a Kedusha.
Every Yarden has a Kedusha.
Every Yarden has a Kedusha.
What is that? You're saying, okay. Yeah.
But it's less than that of Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Every what has
a Eivor HaYarden, the east side of the Jordan River.
Uh-huh.
What?
It's not one of the Asara Kedusha in
Israel. I'm basing this on a tshuva I heard from Rav Zalman Malamed, who said that you can leave Eretz Yisrael to go there. Like for those who are mocking not to go to Eretz Yisrael, you can go there. But it does not have the same status as Eretz Yisrael. That's what I heard.
I have a whole word on that. Okay. Okay, sounds good. Fine. At any rate, so Rav Rachman Bar Yitzchak is answering back and saying, I'm fine where I am. My place is just fine. So he says based on these two rayas, he says that. So Amr Lay, so now Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda says back to him, Ihachi, if so, Nikum Ana Lagabi Mar, then I'm going to come to you. Right? Essentially, he's saying to him, fine, it's not the place, but I just want to be by you because you're Adam Gadol, so I want to come to you. So Amr Lay, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says to him something a little bit cryptic. He says, no, on second thought, I guess I'll come to you. Mutu Yavo Mane Ben Pras, Eitzel Mane Ben Mane. It's better that a whole piece, the son of a half a piece, comes to a whole piece, the son of a whole piece, the Al Yavo Mana Ben Mana Eitzel Mana Ben Pras, rather than a whole piece, the son of a whole piece, coming to a whole piece, the son of a half piece. Now, what exactly is going on there? So Tosas has a very clear way of putting this, very succinct way of putting this. Tosas in Ramaskal Yavo on the very top says Yavo Mono Ben Pras. What is he saying? Kilomar Mutav Shiyavo Gadol Ben Hedyot. A Gadol, the son of a Hedyot, of a regular Joe. It's better that he, the Pras Lo Hava Elachatzi Mono. What's a Pras? A Pras is a half a Mono. So if you have a mana ben pras, then the pras is the half a mana. So it's better that a gadol ben hedyot comes to the mana ben mana. Va'al yavo mana ben mana, the whole piece, the son of a whole piece, the hainu Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda is that whole piece, the son of a whole piece. The haya mana, he was a mana, kolomer shahaya chashuv. He was very important himself. Upras hainu Yitzchak. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yitzchak is the prast, the father of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who was Yitzchak. He was the regular hedyot, right? Avuah de Rav Nachman de lo mikri Rav Yitzchak. He was a regular hedyot. That's why he wasn't called Rav Yitzchak. So there was a Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda was the mana, the son of a mana. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was the mana, the son of a prast, because his father was just a regular Jew. Yeah? Okay. So, that's how Tosas understands it. The only thing I don't quite understand, at least in the, if you're going to be very technical, is that it really should be a mana ben nothing. What's the press? Why is he a press? What's a press? In the mushel, what's a...
What is it from?
Press is a half a mana. It's a half a piece or a half a portion. So I don't know exactly what the lushen is. What?
Adam Kasher is not a nothing.
He's a hedyot. Yeah. Okay. So he's half. He's a half of what of the Adam Gadol, you want to say. Okay. Maybe that's the pshat. I would suggest if you can either take it or leave it, you can like it or not like it. But if you leave it, then get out of my shir. Okay. I would suggest that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was a regular hedyot, but Yitzchak was married to a tzaddikus because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother was a big tzaddikus, and the Gemara brings down in Shabbos that she would famously say, put on your yarmulke, right? So to have a lach aims to the shmaya. So if you're a shemayim, you should always put on. And she would say that to a lot of people, but she would say that particularly to her son because her son was given a bad omen that he was going to be a ganav when he grew up. So she was very makbid to make sure that he had yirah shemayim at all times. So she was a big tzaddikus. So Meimela, he was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He was the manav and pras. Why? Because his parents were. One of them was a hedyot, the other was a tzaddikus. So he was half a portion. It was a full money, son of a half a portion. Whereas Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, both Rav Chisda, his father, and his mother, the Gemara says elsewhere, they were big tzaddikim. Therefore, he's a manav and manav.
I'm going to say one of his parents was a Parsi.
What?
Ben Pras. Sorry.
Maybe it was a Parsi. That's another possible pshat. I don't think. What? Impressive.
Did he become a thief, by the way? What happened?
He was on Abgadol.
So then what
but I think there is a but I think there is a Gemara. There is a Gemara that
Gemara
says.
Said that he climbed up the tree that he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
When he was
right.
A kid or something. So that was the extent of his thievery. He just stole a date or something.
Anyway, so that's that. But anyway, so that's how I would possibly touch the whole story with Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda saying. Why don't you come to us? Because your environment isn't as gishmak. Where Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers, my environment was never gishmak, meaning my upbringing was not always whole, and I came out okay, so I don't need to go by you, right? Rav Nachman Bar Chisda is saying l'shitaso because he had two parents that were gedolim, so he said the environment's very important. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's pshat was the environment's not quite as important because I grew up in a home that didn't have two great tzaddikim, and I turned out just fine, so I can stay where I am. Anyway, take it or leave it. The Gemara goes on. You'll take it? Okay,
yeah,
you'll buy that, Val?
It was good.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, you can stay. You can
thank
stay.
You very much.
Okay, so the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "Besura havas dabrasa." In Surah, there was a dever, a plague. Beshivivutse derav, but in the shchuna, in the neighborhood of Rav, lo havas dabrasa. There wasn't such a plague. So Savru Mine, they
near each other.
Yeah, very near each other. They were.
Surah
is in somewhere in Bubble. I don't know exactly where. This whole bubble thing gets me crazy. But Savru Mine, so they figured that the reason why the neighborhood of Rav, they didn't have this dever was because Mishum Zechusei D'Rav, D'Nafish. It must be that because Rav's Zechusim are so great, because Rav is a great man. But it's Chazil Hu Bechelma, they saw in a chalom, in a dream, that actually, no, the Rav was not even, he was mufka from this whole calculation. Rav, d'nefisha z'chusei tuva ha-mil z'utrele. For Rav, this is not even, this matter wasn't even considered. Ela mishum da'ahu gavra d'shayel mara v'zvila likvura. Rather, it was because of this man in the neighborhood of Rav, who would often lend out his hoe, his shovel, for the purpose of kavura. So because he lent out his shovel for the purpose of kavura, burying the dead, there was no death. There was no dever. Mida keneged mida, there was no dever. So bezchus, this person who would lend out his shovel to the chever kadisha, so therefore there was no dever in that neighborhood. So if anybody has a shovel. Bedrokris in the city of Drokris, Havas Delikasa, there was a fire. Ubishivivuse de Rav Huna, and in the Shchuna of Rav Huna, which was apparently very close by, Lo Havas Delikta.
These Shchunas were in the same place. Like,
what?
One
of the streets. The streets. It was right there, Mamish. It wasn't Rifaim. So there wasn't the fire. There was the surrounding streets had it, and his Shchuna, his immediate Shchuna, did not have it. There was no fire. They figured, why is it not happening in Rav Huna Shchuna? Because Rav Huna is a great man. But they said, no, it's Chazuhlu Bechelma. They saw in a chalom, this would be a very small matter for Rav Huna. He's not even in the calculation. Rather, it was because of this woman, the Mechamemes Tanuro Mashaili L'Shivivusa. What she would do is she would heat up her oven, and she would lend out that heated oven to her neighbors. And because that mitzvah of lighting up the oven, her neighborhood was not lit up. Mida keneged mida. Very beautiful thing. So if anybody has an oven to lend out, that would be a nice thing to do. to another person in the neighborhood who doesn't have an oven. Amar lei l'Rav Yehuda, they said to Rav Yehuda, this is a different story, they said to Rav Yehuda, asu kimtzi, the kimtzi are coming, right? It's the communists. Or they're just locusts. But the locusts are coming. So Gozer Tanisa, what did he do? He was Gozer Tainis.
Kimtzi is locust?
I think so, it's a form of locust. I don't know where I got that from. I don't think there's a Rashi on this. Oh, there is. Rashi. Arbesh Mechalas HaTfuah. There you go. Kimtzi. So the Kimtzi are coming. So Gozer Tanisa, he was Gozer Tainis. Amru Lei, they said to him, why are you Gozer Tainis right away? Loka Mavsadon. It hasn't been Mavsad anything. It hasn't done anything yet. So Amru Lehu, he said to them, this is a very clever. He said to them, Zavda Aizu Ba'adayu. What, did they come with rations? What do you think, they brought their food with them? It's just a matter of time until they're going to eat up all the crops. So what do you say? Because, that's an interesting story. Amru Lei, so they said to him, Amru Lei Rav Yehuda, in a different time, they said to Rav Yehuda, Ika Musna B'chaziri. There's a plague, there's a death happening to the chaziri, to the pigs. Gozer Tanisa, he was Gozer Tainis because of the plagues to the plague to the pigs.
Because yeah. It could spread to other animals?
Well, you just give me with all Gemara. You want to, you should we read the Gemara? You want to just...
I'm guessing, sorry.
Okay, anybody else want to throw up a guess?
Sorry.
Throw up a guess, why the pigs?
Because pigs on their own, we shouldn't be upset about.
Right, exactly. Who cares about the pigs? Yeah. That's what the Gemara is going to say. Yeah. Right, so Gozer Tanisa. So he was Gozer Tainis for the pigs. So Neymar Kasav Rav Yehuda, it must be that Rav Yehuda holds Maka Mishulachas B'Minachad Mishulachas B'Kolaminim. It must be that what we call a Maka Mishulachas, which is what Rabbi Reiser alluded to earlier, which is a divine Maka that happens to one species, is going to spread to another species. In other words, Rav Yehuda must be holding that the reason why we're going to make such a big deal out of pigs is because if it happens to the pigs, it's going to happen to the cows, and it's going to spread, right? So so that must be the reason why, because otherwise we wouldn't really care about the pigs. So the Gemara says, no.
Is this taking place in Bavel?
This is happening. This is Rav Yehuda. Yeah, I think it's happening in Bavel. Why?
I think there's an Isser in Eretz Israel to raise do pig farm.
Yes, good point. That's a Gemara in Bava Kama. That's a Mishnah in Bava Kama.
Okay.
Yeah, Behema Daka, Behema Gasa, and Pig, and Chazirim. There's a Mishnah in Bava Kama at the very end.
So
and a Gemara about this. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't remember this.
So you're saying it doesn't happen?
You said I did Bava Kama recently, which is true. For Mishnah. It's a Mishnah.
Behema Gasa, Behema Daka. It's at the very end. This is probably I want to say it's in the 10th parak.
There's an issur for anyone to do it, or for a Jew to do it.
Second to last Mishnah.
The Jews cannot raise a behema daka, behema gasa, and I think chazirim are in the Mishnah also. Maybe the Gemara is chazirim. What? Meruba. Yeah, it's meruba. Very good. It's at the very end of meruba. Very good.
Uh-huh.
It's at the very end of meruba, which is the 7th parak.
What was the reason?
Behema daka, behema gasa. What was the reason why you can't raise a behema daka and behema gasa?
Wait, I don't remember. All behemoth daka? Or you mean non kosher daka?
No, it's a different zach, right?
Behemoth. You can't raise sheep?
No, yeah, it's a different.
Behemoth daka is a sheep. Behemoth,
otherwise, you can't have any animals. Yeah, no, it's something different. The Mishnah says.
I'm sorry, cow?
Certain behemoth dakas? What?
We do.
All right, Sorokin, I got to look in the Mishnah again. There was a Mishnah about this, though. And there's a whole Gemara telling a story about the pig and how they raise the pig over the wall. You remember this story? Yeah. Okay, anyway. The Chazirim, definitely, because of this whole... Yeah, it's in the 7th parak. Anyway, okay, I got to look up this whole Gemara. This is something about... it's reminding me about the Behemoth Daka and Behemoth Gasa. I don't remember what it said. Anyway, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, so the Gemara says... So the Gemara says, where were we? We were talking about the Svara, right? Why is it shiny? So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Why it is that we fasted for the pigs. Shiny chaziri d'danya me'ayhu l'bnei inshi. The pigs are different because their intestines are so similar to human intestines. And therefore, we're concerned that if it happened to the pigs, then it's going to be contagious. And it's going to happen to the humans, right? is going to happen to the human things. The Tosis
says like when the Surgeon General warns about smoking and things like that.
What?
It's like when the Surgeon General warns about smoking because it's been proven to cause cancer in some other.
You're saying the pigs should not smoke, is what you're trying to say?
Heart disease, heart attack.
Is that your point? The pigs shouldn't smoke.
No, it's okay, proven that smoking causes death to human beings.
What?
No, it's proven.
No, for people around them.
Anyway, Tosis over here, if I remember correctly, Tosis says that if we're going to be gozer on a chazir because its intestines are similar to a human, then we would certainly be gozer when it happens to a goyim. So if it happens to goyim, if there's a plague happening to the goyim, then we should certainly be gozer on a fast because of that, because obviously the goyim's intestines are pretty similar to other human, to Jewish human intestines. But this, I think this Tosis is a subject of Machlokas Rishonim, actually, whether we're actually going to be declare a tainus for the goyim, if the goyim are involved in it. Which goes back to your point, I think, on Monday, you asked a question, when we have the ratio of 3 people to 500, does that include goyim, right? That was your question. I didn't know, and Lachora, if Lachora Tosis, according to this Tosis, perhaps we would say that yeah, that goyim are included in this, perhaps or what? You want to say it's a different thing? You're saying because you're saying this is because it's contagious, so it would be a different thing than. That's 3 and 500. I don't know if it's a contagious thing, but it's indicative of something that is I don't know about contagious, but it's indicative of a dever that's mishulachas. It's a minashamayim. It's a minashamayim type of thing. I don't know if we can draw the comparison. Anyway, I think that the Achronim speak out that this ratio of 3 to 500 does not include women or children. It has to be dafka men of a certain age. Like I think they say it's
right because it's ragli, and I saw this in Arts.
Ragli, yeah. So something about the army, right?
Yes,
the army.
Yes. Fit to serve.
What is this? I see ragli over here. Yeah, interesting.
500 men or 50.
Yeah, Chamishmo is ragli, so they're actually medayik and ragli that they're army. It's very fascinating. It's a very like. Very mechudash,
the
I think.
The Jews, it's not so different than how they count the Jews in the Midbar. They didn't count women and children. They counted men from 20 to 60, right?
Men from 20 to 60. Yeah, yeah.
So it's a sort of a similar idea that men, no women and children, only men of a certain age range.
Right, but what does that have to do with a dever? I mean, like, why would we limit a dever that happens by men who are 20 to 60, like
because the death toll would be less amongst healthy people.
Oh, so these are the healthiest of the. Okay.
These are the healthiest.
Very good. Very good. I'm a Kabbal. I am a Kabbal. I will buy that vowel. Correct. Correct.
So then it's a different.
It's a different.
Yeah, we should be worried ourselves.
Different cheshbon. Yeah. I hear. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. Amru le l'Shmuel ika musna bechuzai. There is a dever happening in Bechuzai. Gazer Tanisa, even though he wasn't living in Bechuzai, he was gozer a tainis because of this. And Amru le, he said to him, it must have been something I said. Amru le v'ha merchak. They said to him,
He's got
Mario.
What
happened? I'm totally kidding. I have no idea. He's got this thing.
Anyway,
so Amr Lay, they said to him, Vaham Merchak. But Shmuel, that dever is pretty far away from us. Why are you being Gozer Tainis? Because in Bechuzai, there's this dever. So Amr, he says, Lekam Avrahacha the Pasik Lay. There's no river that is separating us and Bechuzai. And therefore, it's a Makah HaMa'alechas. It's going to move. And it's gonna make its way, there's no question about it. So therefore we're gonna be Gozer Atinus before the Dever strikes. Additionally, Amr Leila Rav Nachman, they said to Rav Nachman, Ika Musa Nabar de Yisroel. Rav Nachman was living in Bavel, and they said, there is a dever happening in Eretz Yisroel. So Gozer Tanisa, he was Gozer Tanis in Bavel, even though they're obviously separated by very, very many miles. Amr, he said, or kilometers. Amr, he said, Im Gvira Lokeh Shivcha Lokol Shekein. So he said to them, I'll tell you why I'm Gozer in Bavel. Because if the Gvira, if the woman of the house, if the woman of the house is being loke, if she's being struck, then the shivcha, the maidservant, certainly should fear getting struck. So if Eretz Yisroel, which is the gvira, is getting struck with the dever, then certainly Bavel, which is secondary to Eretz Yisroel, should be concerned about this, and therefore we have to be gozer at tainus. Says the Gemara, based on Rav Nachman's statement, time of the Gvira v'Shivcha. The reason why we have to be Choshesh is because we're talking about a Gvira versus a Shivcha. But a HaShivcha v'Shivcha lo. That would imply that if you had a different city or a different county in Bavel that had this Dever, then we wouldn't be concerned about it. Because it was only because we had the Gvira and the Shivcha, because it is happening in Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to be concerned about Bavel. But if we're happening to another city in Bavel, we shouldn't be as concerned. But says the Gemara, that isn't true. V'ha amr leilu Shmuel, but they said to Shmuel, Ika Muslim Bechuzai, there is a Misa happening in Bechuzai, in Gozer Tanisa, and he was Gozer Atinus. So we see that Shmuel was Gozer Atinus in a different city in Bavel, despite the fact that it wasn't Eretz Yisroel. So the Gemara says, no, Shiny Hasam, given the Ika Shairasa de Lavi Vasya Bade. Since there is Shairasa, since there are caravans going back and forth, Shmuel was awfully concerned. But typically, in a case of another city in Bavel, we wouldn't be as concerned, and therefore, just because one city in Bavel has a Dever that isn't caused to be concerned for a tainus in another city. Abba Umna.
David?
Yeah.
When you're talking about if there's a tainus if there is a plague or whatever in Eretz Israel, you would be concerned if you're in Babylon. Okay. But would you not also be concerned because you're Jews and there's a plague in Eretz Israel? Okay.
Yeah.
Simply because you're Jews and they're your brothers?
Yeah, that's a capital to Tehillim. Weiter, says the Gemara. We're not gonna fast for it. The question is, are we gozer atinus? You're right. I should be concerned if Chalila, something happens to a brother of mine I'm not a brother literally, but some, you know, a Jew in Chutz La'aretz, I'm very concerned. But I'm not gonna be gozer atinus for it. I'm gonna say kapitul Tehillim. Right. So there are levels. There are gradations of concern.
No,
when it comes to atinus.
The Mishnah in Yoteto said that Oto ir mit ane u mitrat ve kosvi otea mitanot v'lo mitrat. Kilo, the ones in the tzviva also fast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Right, in that tzviva, yeah, in that tzviva, you're going to fast, but not in a neighboring city, just because you have a, you know, just because something's happening in Los Angeles, that doesn't mean San Francisco is going to fast.
There's too much of a distance, but depends. It's not.
In economy, it's.
You have to define what it means.
Correct. In economy, you have to define the distance. You're 100% right. I don't know how we define the tzviva. I don't know how we do that, but it's a good question. I guess anything happening Beit Shemesh, we're going to say is a Beit Shemesh problem. Whether it's RBS Aleph or RBS Bet or it's Beit Shemesh,
I wouldn't want this to happen, but if something happens in Beit Shemesh, all the Moshavim around here would also be a part of it, right?
In Achrami. All the Moshavim, including whom? So Nachas?
Eshta'ol, Misilot Zion, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It's a good question. What's considered a Sviva? It's a very good question. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't define it, but it is. It's important for. It's important to know for, you know, if the truth is, I don't even know if these dinim are all that practical, but you know, for halachic purposes, it's important to know what the tzviva is. And I would imagine a subject of a machlokas in the poskim as to how we define the tzviva.
There's no reversal, we're part of the tzviva?
Right. In a chanami. According to Shmuel, it seems like, right, as long as there's, yeah, I would agree with that. Anyway, the Gemara goes on about a very interesting story here. Abba Umna was a rofe, he was a doctor. Abba Umna hava asile shalma me mesifta derekia kol yoma. Abba Umna was a very, very great man. He was a big tzaddik, as we're going to see in the next piece in this Agadah over here. Abba Umna was a big tzaddik, was a rofe, and he would get the shalom aleichem from the mesifta derekia. He would get the shalom aleichem from a baskol in Shamayim every single day. Every single day, the baskol would come down and say shalom aleichem, Abba Umna. Ula Abaye, and to Abaye, who was also no small potatoes himself.
Who?
Abaye.
Oh, Abaye.
Abaye. Right? He was a big potato. Hot potato.
Yeah.
Ula Abaye ko Malioma. The Shabsa, sorry. Abaye would get every Friday night, he would get a Shalom Aleichem from the Baskol. Ula Rava, and Rava, who was also, you know, a pretty decent sized potato, ko Malioma the Kippuri. He would get it once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. So you had Rava, who was getting it once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. You had Abaye, who was getting it on Friday, Erev Shabbos. And you had Abba Umna, who was getting this baskol, Shalom Aleichem for the baskol, every single day. So, Abaye was very jealous. He had a chalisha sadas. He was kind of feeling depressed, down, that Abba Umna was getting the baskol every single day, and he was only zocha to the baskol once a week. He was thinking, what is this Abba Umna doing that I'm not? What am I missing out on here? I want a Shalom Aleichem every day, right?
It reminds me of a good joke, which I want to say, right?
Okay, I appreciate that. Very good. Okay. Kishim Shekibalta
Schar
Ala Drisha. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says, so he had a chalisha sadas because of Abba Umna. So Amrulei, Abaye's talmidim said to Abba Umna, "Lo matzis lemevid ka'uvda. You cannot do what Abba Umna does. Right? Abba Umna is an incredibly great man, and you couldn't do what he does. Umay hava uvda the Abba Umna. And what were the things that Abba Umna did? What was so great about Abba Umna that he got this baskol every single day?" So says the Gemara a few things that he did. Incredible. Techi hava oven milsa, when he would do his thing, which is what? He was a rofe, he would do bloodletting. Bloodletting was a very big thing back then. It was a very healthy thing, which still is now. But when he would do his... What?
Still is now?
Bloodletting is very healthy.
Who does it?
I don't know if people do it, but it's healthy to do. I don't know if...
If it's so healthy, I want you to do it.
If it's healthy.
No.
It's unpleasant.
When you remove the blood, let's say a person's not feeling well, so you remove the blood. That's the bad blood cells, and what you're doing is you're causing the body to create white blood cells, which is healthier.
So, but how do you know you're letting out bad blood and not good blood?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have control of which blood
you're letting out? With red blood cells and white blood cells, and the body is producing more white blood cells, so it's actually creating.
So why don't we do this?
I don't know why we don't. I don't know why we don't do bloodletting.
Crazy medicine.
What?
Are you a doctor?
I am. A doctor.
Your father is sort of.
Yeah, you can ask your father. You can ask your father about the bloodletting business, and why is he not doing it?
David, if it's so healthy, I want you to do it.
Listen, I didn't say I'm going to do it. You said it's healthy. Anyway, that's what they did. But anyway, back to the regular scheduling program here. So the Yichayavet Avet Milsa, when he would do his thing, have a machas gavri lechud v'nashi lechud. He would have separate hours for men and for women, so that there wasn't any mixing and mingling going on here. That was number one. The Isli Levusha, he also had a garment.
Sexist man.
He has it's the Isli. Okay, call it what you might. I can tell you're a liberal. But the Isle Levusha, he had a lavush, he had a garment. The Isbe Karna da Havas Bazia Kikusilta, he had this garment that, I'm picturing kind of, he had this long garment that he would have, and he would cut a hole in the garment in the area where he would do the bloodletting, and then he would put this device, the kli that he would use for the bloodletting, on that hole. And he would have this whole garment, and the garment would cover the whole arm, except for the area where he would put the kli, where he would put the, you know, the syringe and whatever else the bloodletting was.
It scares me to think whatever tools they had back then.
Yeah. He have us oscillate its son. Now, why was it such a big deal? Because when a woman would come by, and obviously the woman had to roll up her sleeve. So have a malbishla, what would she do? She would use this garment. This garment was incredibly tznius. And so she wouldn't have to roll up her sleeve. And kihechid lo nistakalba, he wouldn't have to look at her. He wouldn't have to look at her revealed arm. Because she would put on this garment and she would be completely covered except for the one area where he would be able to take the blood. The islay dochta, that was...
I thought the Chavetz Chaim brought that in to cover over your knees, elbows.
You should cover that. Every person should cover their elbows, or just a woman?
The women.
Yeah, the women have to cover their elbows. Not even, yeah,
that's
invented.
That's from the Torah.
Yeah, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, a woman has to cover her elbows. Absolutely. But I'm saying the rest of the yarm is magula. But he would
from
have it so that the whole. What?
What's magula?
You said
revealed, open. Right. Normally, when a woman, when you do blood, when you take blood, so you have to open, you have to reveal your whole arm. He would have this garment that would completely cover the arm except
you
the one area.
You
so he'd be able to put the device on the area, and you wouldn't have to look at the woman's
so
arm.
This is before Shulchan
Aruch. Very tznius, like a thing. Yeah. Anyway,
everything was Shulchan Aruch from the Gemara.
Anyway, says the Gemara.
What was that garment called?
It was called a well. It doesn't say what the garment is. It describes what it was. It was a levusha. It was a garment, the isbe karna, that had a kind of, the kli, the horn on it. He called it a horn or whatever it was that drew the blood. The havas bezia, it was, there was a hole in that garment, kikusilta, like the device that they used for, what was the size of the device that they used for the bloodletting. So that's the description of the Gemara. I don't exactly know. But you can get the idea. He was doing this for tznius purposes so that he wouldn't have to look at her. Furthermore, look what he did further. V'islei duchta d'tznia d'shadi b'pshita d'shakil. After he would do it, he would obviously charge. So he charged, let's say, 100 shekels to do the bloodletting. And he would have a very tsanua place, a separate place from his office where people could throw in their money. What was the purpose of that? The isle shadibe, people who had money to give him, they would put it in that place. And the lesle dlomichsif, the people who didn't have money to pay him, they wouldn't feel embarrassed about not being able to pay him. So it's incredible. He had no accounts receivable because he relied on people to pay by themselves. People who had money would pay by themselves. And people that did not have money were not embarrassed to say, I don't have money, I can't pay you. So he would basically do the bloodletting for the people.
He didn't say an invoice. He sent
he did not send it.
He didn't say pay within 30 days.
All right, well, you'll hear from my attorney. Exactly.
Well, for those who paid, they couldn't get a refund from their insurance.
That's true. They could not get a refund from their insurance, right? I'm sure that they worked out something that they pulled a shtick and they got the refund anyway. Anyway, but says the Gemara, they weren't embarrassed. And furthermore, and this is the kicker, ki hava yisramilei tzuvim rabbanu, when he had a tamar chacham come to him for bloodletting, igra minei lo shakil, he refused to take any money from the tamar chacham, ubasa dekoi, and after the tamar chacham was finished and stood up from the bloodletting, yohiv lei pshiti, Abba Umna would give him money. Go heal yourself. Go eat something and get yourself better. So not only would he not take money from a Tamar Chacham, he would actually pay the Tamar Chacham to have the bloodletting done and to get himself healthy afterwards. Incredible, incredible thing. The Gemara continues now until Chav Beis Amar Aleph a bit with the further stories of Abba Umna and Abaye and Rava, and we will stop here for now.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to hear the joke?
Oh, okay, fine. I guess I'll hear it.
Okay, so
you already